latest from WHKW by following us on Twitter.
Did he say tweezers?
At AM 1220, The Word.
Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to our broadcast today. We are so grateful that you've tuned in to listen, and we have an exciting show for you today. We're going to postpone what we talked about last week about the repentance. We have a special guest with us today, and we're going to not only use this first half hour today, but also the another half hour, as well as our special guest is another Davis. If you listen right here on 1220 AM The Word on Sunday nights at 11 o'clock. You'll hear live with Pastor Al on Sunday nights at 11, and he has joined us today. So, Pastor Al Davis, thank you for joining us, and we're looking forward to having a great conversation today about homosexuality.
Oh, welcome. Thank you for that welcome. I'm glad to be on here. And also, and you mentioned the next half hour, because I'm on here every Friday afternoon as well from 1:30 until 2 with Live with Pastor Al. And again, both live programs. And you're going to be my guest on our program, Live with Pastor Al. And, you know, I got to give a little full disclosure here. Pastor Greg Davis, Southwest Baptist Church in Brunswick, Ohio, where the sign that we're going to be talking about here, and I'll let you talk more about that in a minute. Full disclosure, we are distant cousins. We're both descended from Noah's son, Japheth. But I think that makes you and I distant cousins as well as a lot of our listeners. So, I'm glad to be here today.
Well, I remember last week when I was mentioning possibly being able to have Brother Greg Davis here. As you were anticipating getting ready for your broadcast, I kept thinking, if he only heard the Davis, his head's perking up, wondering who he's talking about. But we certainly wanted to bring up, and Brother Davis, appreciate him so much and the work he's doing there. And he's given us permission to talk about the things that some of the news stations are talking about regarding this billboard that Southwest Baptist Church has. Right there on 71, just south of the turnpike, I believe it is, or maybe it's Route 82, I can't remember. Well, right before Route 303, right on 71, and it says, "Homosexuality is sin, but Christ can set you free." And I called Brother Greg last week and found out Brother Al, you did as well on the same day, so we were both kind of
to get him on too.
On the same tune on this thing. But We called him, and I called him and told him, listen, since we have a platform where we have the opportunity to be on a radio station on a weekly basis, sometimes you don't get fair treatment from the secular news organizations. And so I like that we have maybe an avenue that can get the real message out. And the one thing Brother Greg did say when I said that, he says he thought the news stations were somewhat fair, very fair, more fair than maybe what he had thought initially. But obviously, there's still some of the things. And if you read the article, I think it was from Channel 19, and I think you have a copy of it, maybe take us through that and see where that goes. And we'll kind of use that and talk about some of the things, maybe how the secular society looks at this versus how Christians really should view. And by the way, let me say this. If you are curious, and maybe you're one of these people, you've got your own impression and say, well, they put that up, and you know, I'm mad at them for putting that up, and that's just not how you love people. You need to go to southwestbaptist.org, and you need to listen to the message that Brother Pastor Greg Davis preached regarding this. And if you still walk away with an attitude of arrogance and say, well, they hate gay people, and then you're just biased yourself. Because Brother Greg did an exemplary job of preaching with compassion and love and balancing with truth and not being ashamed of preaching the truth. And it is well worth you going. It's maybe a 45-minute message, and it is well worth anybody going to listen to it.
Yeah, and I'd add to that the sign that he has up there, there's nothing in there that says anything that is demonstrably hateful.
Right.
It's merely a statement of what the Bible says. And last time I checked, we had freedom of speech in this country. And if you study your Constitution, the First Amendment, and you look at that, freedom of speech is not separate from freedom of religion. It's all one sentence there in the First Amendment. And I would contend that if you do not have freedom of speech, you do not have freedom of religion, and vice versa. If you do not have freedom of religion, you do not have freedom of speech. And the Constitution nowhere says that we have, you know, freedom from being offended.
Right.
We have the freedom to actually say things that are offensive or do things. And think of some of the things that have been said about Christians and Christianity that have been quite offensive. And yet, you know, the Supreme Court numerous times upholds, you know, art that has a crucifix immersed in a jar of urine and things like that. And we're told, just get over it. If you don't like it, just get over it. And many of these artists are doing things purposely because they don't like Christians and they don't like Christianity. And I saw a clip of Richard Dawkins, an atheist, going on about the God of the Bible being malevolent and a horrible monster, and he clearly expressed his distaste for Christianity, and yet he has the freedom to say that. But the moment somebody points out what the Bible says about homosexuality and then says Christ can set you free, all of a sudden, in some people's minds, that's intolerable.
Yeah.
They're so offended. You have no right to say that. Sorry, we have a First Amendment to our Constitution still. We have Brother Greg Davis has the absolute right to put this on his sign. No tax dollars are supporting it.
Yeah, that's right.
It's private religious freedom of speech expression. And, you know, I support him in that effort. And yet, like you said, he went the extra step. He went the extra mile. He didn't just put the sign up there. He put out a great message online that any person, homosexual or otherwise, can listen to and find out what God's heart is about the person that's struggling with the sin of homosexuality.
Yeah, and I think if somebody, you know, we talk about bias and we talk about, you know, tolerance, those type of things, but what you find is if you can go and listen to this message, and again, I would encourage you to do that, and still walk away thinking that, oh, this is some intolerant preacher. This is somebody who, you know, doesn't understand the needs of people today and the science behind it and all of these things. Then the bias is really with you. The problem is really with you. And you know, we talk about tolerance, and that's what's propagated today. And, you know, tolerance, we find is the people that are most intolerant. I mentioned this last week on our broadcast, was tolerance can go a long way until you mention Christ, and then we can't be tolerant of Christ.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
all of
really
a sudden.
Homosexuality is a sin. That is a statement of judgment to those, well, that's not tolerant because, well, it's not sin to me. And it brings up that whole argument of absolute truth versus relative truth. And and of course, up to, you know, I don't tend to believe that the highest office in our land is the President of the United States. I believe that it is the preachers behind the pulpits. And so I believe many of the preachers in the pulpits have compromised on the truth. And thus, our secular government is just merely a reflection of the spiritual condition of our communities. So where the bias starts and where the compromise has begun in the pulpit of the area of truth. I mean, we have a church in Lakewood. Lakewood has churches that are known for, we've had people come to our church saying, you know, preacher, we tried this church on a Christmas service, and man, there are homosexuals that are embracing one another, and they are holding one another, and they are doing things within the church that are making them feel comfortable. So that's the appearance of tolerance. Well, this makes them uncomfortable because, as Brother Greg mentions in his message, this is a Bible issue.
Exactly.
At some point, they have to do something with the Bible because you can't get away from it. It's exactly. It's not like it doesn't exist. It's there. It's how they choose to deal with it.
Right. And as you mentioned, it is a Bible issue. And people say, oh, that's just Old Testament. But Romans chapter 1 is very clear. I mean, in Romans chapter 1, he talks about the gospel, and that's true. It's the power of God unto salvation. Paul writes about that. But then he contrasts the gospel message, which shows the love and the mercy of God, really, in a sense, with the judgment of God upon sinful behavior. And in that sinful behavior, in Romans chapter 1, I can read it or you can read it.
Well, did
you
ever, go like, right ahead.
He says, starting, well, let's just jump in down here in verse 24, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie," and we see that happening, don't we? Truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator. And a lot of this is people are so much in love with themselves and their own selfish interests and their own selfish pleasures that they're not interested in God and what God wants.
Yeah, and let me say something on that real quick, is there's a danger that people worship somebody other than God. Mm-hmm. I believe there's people that worship the Constitution more than God. They worship being an American than being a God. Mm-hmm. And listen, I'm an American through and through. I was born here, bred here, as patriotic as the next guy, but my worship isn't towards America or the Constitution. I'm very thankful for it. Very thankful for the men who labored to put and make sure that document wasn't giving us our rights, it was securing our rights that came from God. And so I think here it even says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped served the creature more than the Creator.
Yeah.
And boy, that's exactly where we live today.
Oh, yeah.
It's a worship of the creature.
Yeah, and as you had mentioned earlier, the president is not the highest office in the land, it's the pastors of biblical churches across this country. And I would add that the Constitution is not the highest authority, written authority in the land. It's the Word of God.
Yeah.
And I guess I could say it this way: it's the Word of God that gives us our authority to discuss what we're discussing.
Yeah.
And not just our authority, but our imperative to discuss this issue.
Yeah.
But it's the Constitution that secures, legally, our right.
Our right to do it.
Our neighbors to the north over Lake Erie, we couldn't be having this conversation there.
Yeah.
They just don't have that freedom.
Right.
And, God gave them the same authority and the same responsibility to preach the same message, but their government won't recognize the legitimacy of it like our Constitution does. Our government is bound to by the Constitution.
Sure, yeah.
But I was going to say, getting back to this, they serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And he says this in verse 26, "For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, or the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet." And as we had talked earlier, this passage here says the women changed their natural use.
Yeah.
The women, or the men, left the natural use. And that kind of biblically shoots down the false teaching that you're born that way. For years, they tried to discover the gay gene, and they haven't. My older brother told me that he was taught about that in high school or junior high school, I guess it was. And I said, well, I got to let you know, after you believe that for 40-some years, that's been disproven a long time ago. They're still trying to prove it.
Yeah, and that's a great point. And again, I like to point out, because this is what the Lord pointed out to me, a couple things. One, this behavior that is being described, that God is describing here, is described as vile.
Mm-hmm.
It's evil. It's dirty. It's filthy. It's and so God is he gave them up. Let them go. And then he described. Then the behavior is described. But it's one of the few areas in the, if not the only area in the Bible, maybe that. And I don't know my Bible through and through, but so there may be some other areas, but where it says they went beyond the human nature. All right. When we were born, we were born boys. Boys desire girls. That's human nature. That's not a saved or unsaved issue. That's human nature. That's and girls desire boys. That's human nature. What's not human nature is a boy desiring a boy and a girl desiring a girl.
Well, I might interject something in there. That's sin nature.
Yeah, sin nature, right. which is.
And the world is now fostering that sin nature, whereas in times past, the world tried to restrain sin nature. And people, let's go with the argument, just for the sake of argument, or the discussion. Let's say you are born that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say that somebody is born as a homosexual boy. So I can't help it. I was born this way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I heard a guy one time addressing this, and he says, listen to me very closely. I was born a liar.
Yeah.
I it's in my nature. I can't help myself. I was born a liar, but the Bible still says that I shouldn't lie.
That's right.
How about somebody that says, I was born a thief? I can't help myself. I'm a kleptomaniac. I can't help myself. When I see something, I just got to take it.
Yeah.
We have laws to restrain theft because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. How about somebody that says, you know, I have a compulsion to kill. Some of my listeners and the people at our church, I pastor the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, but some of our people know I went to school with Jeffrey Dahmer, the notorious serial killer, sat next to him in high school, all through homeroom, all through high school. And, you know, I read some things that come out on him since then, and he said, I can't help myself. I have this compulsion to kill people.
Yeah.
He said to the investigators, I know one of the investigators personally in Bath, Ohio, that went up to Milwaukee to discuss, to talk to him, to get information on the case where he killed his first known victim in Bath, Ohio. And he went up to talk with him. And in his interview, Jeff had basically said, if I'm out of prison, I will kill again.
Wow.
Well, hey, he was born this way. Why are we restraining him? Why are we preventing him from doing what he was born to do? I mean, he can't help himself. He was born that way. No, we have laws restraining behaviors, even if people are born that way. And we single out now, the culture is singling out homosexuality and saying, we have to accept abnormal behavior that the Bible condemns as sin, because they were born that way. Well, why don't we make the case for lying? Why don't we make the case for stealing? Why don't we make the case for murder?
Well, I think that's why they're changing the argument, and maybe we can get into this in the second half hour, is, you know, I've got some articles here. Is gay lifestyle or gay marriage, is that the civil rights argument of our life, of our time? And that goes along with that, because the going back to the point of homosexuality is a sin. Well, when they underline or take away that authority of God's word saying it's a sin, well, now it's only your interpretation that it's a sin. And so I'm not, even though I'm born a homosexual, homosexuality isn't a sin. And so that's not something that has to be a correctable behavior. That's not something that we need redemption from, because it is an offense. It is an offense towards God. And so when they, what they do is they change the argument, and now they say, well, it's just like being a black man or being a woman, being a minority. You know, if I was a black man, if I was a woman, if I was a some minority, and the argument was being brought that they were equating a behavior with a birth, you know, me and you couldn't help the color of our skin when we were born. I mean, that God made us that way. The color of our eyes, the color of our hair, whatever. We don't have any say in that whatsoever, except if we go to Drug Mart and get some hair color and we can change it, put context in to change. But it doesn't change it. To equate a behavior with something of all men are created equal and have that true equality. Boy, I'll tell you, that's just a disservice that has been done. And again, maybe we can talk about that in the next half hour here, as we've only got a few minutes left. And we're going to get back to talking. And again, Brother Al has been so gracious to ask me to stay on for the next half hour, and we're going to do that. But maybe you're listening. Maybe you have friends. I have a brother-in-law who is a professed homosexual. He has chosen that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I've not talked to him in years, and it's because we're the hate mongers. We're the ones that just can't accept him, can't approve of that. So I understand, some of these things, but I also know that in the Bible, and we have this, not even in the Bible, in our land, there are people who get saved out of that lifestyle, right, which proves that it is a behavior. It's not a birth, because if they were born that way, how could they change? If they were born that way, why would they need redemption? And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul gives us a list. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." And that's typically the reference to the Sodomites. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But the next part he says, "And such were..."
Right.
"Some of you," which means there's always hope.
Yeah. God can set you free. And isn't that what Pastor Greg Davis on his sign said? Homosexuality is a sin, but Christ can set you free. And the verse there is John 8:36, I believe it is, on his sign, which if you want to read that there, is a perfect example. Christ can set you free. And our object here, and my reason for wanting you to be on with me in the next half hour, it's not to just make homosexuals feel bad, but it's to make them understand that God loves them.
Yeah.
Christ can set you free. Go ahead.
John 8:36, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed."
That's great. There's always hope with Christ.
Amen. And there's plenty of testimonies out there of people who have gotten saved. In fact, I think there's, is that what that website is?
Exodus International?
ExodusInternational.org.
They have, testimonies of people who've been set free, and Christ can do it. People say, "Oh, it's impossible. It's impossible." With God, all things are possible. Might be impossible with man, but it's possible with God. Alcoholics are set free in Christ.
Amen.
Drug addicts are set free in Christ. Convicted murderers are set free, not from jail, but from their lifestyle and their sinful ways in Christ. Why can't homosexuality be another sin that you can be delivered from, just like any other sin?
And Brother Greg did a great job, and we're going to talk about this again, of explaining how the society has lied to us. And he gave an apology.
And they have lied.
The churches have lied, and the schools have lied, and the government has lied. And because people are believing a lie, there are people in hell today because they refuse to see their sin.
That's right.
But there's always hope. And that's what I love about what Brother Greg has done. And there's always hope. And there's hope for you if you're struggling in that, or there's somebody else in your life that is. And so we stick around for the next half hour. We'll continue this study.
All right. A couple seconds left there, but I just want to tell people there's always hope in Christ, and join us in the next half hour. We'll continue this topic here.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church with Pastor John Lutz. Pastor Lutz and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to worship with them. Sunday school is at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 6 p.m., and the Wednesday evening Bible study is at 7. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For complete details, visit online at northcoastbaptist.org. That's northcoastbaptist.org. If you have a question or a comment for Pastor Lutz, please call 216-402-1095. That's 216-402-1095. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.
This is Jeff.